Chapter 77. Mr. Domney is dying to hear you, I know. Apostrophe, Mr. Domney has life enough left to say so for himself. Mama, I have no doubt. Apostrophe, I shall be immensely obliged. Apostrophe, said Mr. Domney. What do you wish? Apostrophe, apostrophe, piano? Apostrophe, apostrophe, hesitated Mr. Domney. Whatever you please. You have only to choose. Accordingly, she began with the piano. It was the same with the harp, the same with her singing, the same with the selection of the pieces that she sang and played. Such frigid and constrained, yet prompt and pointed acquiescence with the wishes he imposed upon her, and on no one else, was sufficiently remarkable to penetrate through all the mysteries of Pickett, and impress itself on Mr. Carker's keen attention. Nor did he lose sight of the fact that Mr. Domney was evidently proud of his power, and liked to show it. Nevertheless, Mr. Carker played so well some games with the Major, and some with Cleopatra, whose vigilance of eye in respect of Mr. Domney and Edith no lynx could have surpassed, that he even heightened his position in the Lady Mother's good graces, and when on taking leave he regretted that he would be obliged to return to London next morning, Cleopatra trusted, community of feeling not being met with every day, that it was far from being the last time they would meet. I hope so, apostrophe said Mr. Carker, with an expressive look at the couple in the distance, as he drew towards the door, following the Major. I think so. Apostrophe, Mr. Domney, who had taken a stately leave of Edith, bent, or made some approach to a bend, over Cleopatra's couch, and said, in a low voice, I have requested Mrs. Granger's permission to call on her tomorrow morning for a purpose, and she has appointed 12 o'clock. May I hope to have the pleasure of finding you at home, madam, afterwards? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Cleopatra was so much fluttered and moved by hearing this, of course, incomprehensible speech, that she could only shut her eyes, and shake her head, and give Mr. Domney her hand, which Mr. Domney, not exactly knowing what to do with, dropped. Domney, come along. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the Major, looking in at the door. Damn, sir, old Joe has a great mind to propose an alteration in the name of the Royal Hotel, and that it should be called the Three Jolly Bachelors, in honor of ourselves and Carker. Apostrophe, with this, the Major slapped Mr. Domney on the back, and winking over his shoulder at the ladies, with a frightful tendency of blood to the head, carried him off. Mrs. Skewton reposed on her sofa, and Edith sat apart, by her harp, in silence. The mother, trifling with her fan, looked stealthily at the daughter more than once, but the daughter, brooding gloomily with downcast eyes, was not to be disturbed. Thus they remained for a long hour, without a word, until Mrs. Skewton's maid appeared, according to custom, to prepare her gradually for night. At night, she should have been a skeleton, with dart and hourglass, rather than a woman, this attendant, for her touch was as the touch of death. The painted object shriveled underneath her hand, the form collapsed, the hair dropped off, the arched dark eyebrows changed to scanty tufts of gray, the pale lips shrunk, the skin became cadaverous and loose. An old, worn, yellow, nodding woman, with red eyes, alone remained in Cleopatra's place, huddled up, like a slovenly bundle, in a greasy flannel gown. The very voice was changed, as it addressed Edith, when they were alone again. Why don't you tell me, apostrophe it said sharply, that he is coming here tomorrow by appointment? Apostrophe, apostrophe, because you know it, apostrophe returned Edith, mother. Apostrophe, the mocking emphasis she laid on that one word. You know he has bought me, apostrophe she resumed. Or that he will, tomorrow. He has considered of his bargain. He has shown it to his friend. He is even rather proud of it. He thinks that it will suit him, and may be at sufficiently cheap, and he will buy tomorrow. God, that I have lived for this, and that I feel it. apostrophe apostrophe, compress into one handsome face the conscious self-abasement, and the burning indignation of 100 women, strong in passion and in pride, and there it hid itself with 2 white shuddering arms. What do you mean? Apostrophe apostrophe, returned the angry mother. Haven't you from a child apostrophe, a child? Apostrophe apostrophe, said Edith, looking at her, when was I a child? What childhood did you ever leave to me? I was a woman artful, designing, mercenary, laying snares for men, before I knew myself, or you, or even understood the base and wretched aim of every new display I learned you gave birth to a woman. Look upon her. She is in her pride tonight, and as she spoke, she struck her hand upon her beautiful bosom, as though she would have beaten down herself. Look at me, apostrophe, she said, who have never known what it is to have an honest heart and love. Look at me, taught to scheme and plot when children play, and married in my youth and old age of design to one for whom I had no feeling but indifference. Look at me, whom he left a widow, dying before his inheritance descended to him, a judgment on you. Well deserved. And tell me what has been my life for 10 years since. Apostrophe, we have been making every effort to endeavor to secure to you a good establishment. Apostrophe, rejoined her mother. That has been your life. And now you have got it. Apostrophe, there is no slave in a market. There is no horse in a fair. So shown and offered and examined and paraded, mother, as I have been, for 10 shameful years, apostrophe, cried Edith, with a burning brow, and the same bitter emphasis on the one word. Is it not so? Have I been made the byword of all kinds of men? Have fools, have profligates, have boys, have dotards, dangled after me, and one by one rejected me, and fallen off, because you were too plain with all your cunning. Yes, and too true, with all those false pretenses. Until we have almost come to be notorious? The license of look and touch, apostrophe, she said, with flashing eyes, have I submitted to it, in half the places of resort upon the map of England? Have I been hawked and vended here and there, until the last grain of self-respect is dead within me, and I loathe myself? Has been my late childhood? I had none before. Do not tell me that I had, tonight of all nights in my life. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you might have been well married, apostrophe, said her mother, 20 times at least, Edith, if you had given encouragement enough. Apostrophe, no. Who takes me, refuse that I am, and as I well deserve to be, apostrophe, she answered, raising her head, and trembling in her energy of shame and stormy pride, shall take me, as this man does, with no art of mine put forth to lure him. He sees me at the auction, and he thinks it well to buy me. Let him. When he came to view me perhaps, to bid he required to see the roll of my accomplishments. I gave it to him. When he would have me show one of them, to justify his purchase to his men, I require of him to say which he demands, and I exhibit it. I will do no more. He makes the purchase of his own will, and with his own sense of its worth, and the power of his money, and I hope it may never disappoint him. I have not vaunted and pressed the bargain, neither have you, so far as I have been able to prevent you. You talk strangely tonight, Edith, to your own mother. Apostrophe, it seems so to me, stranger to me than you, apostrophe, said Edith. But my education was completed long ago. I am too old now, and have fallen too low, by degrees, to take a new course, and to stop yours, and to help myself. The germ of all that purifies a woman's breast, and makes it true and good, has never stirred in mine, and I have nothing else to sustain me when I despise myself. Apostrophe, there had been a touching sadness in her voice, but it was gone, when she went on to say, with a curled lip, so, as we are genteel and poor, I am content that we should be made rich by these means. All I say is, I have kept the only purpose I have had the strength to form. I had almost set the power, with you at my side, mother, and have not tempted this man on. Apostrophe, this man. You speak, apostrophe, said her mother, as if you hated him. apostrophe, and you thought I loved him, did you not? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she answered, stopping on her way across the room, and looking round. Shall I tell you, apostrophe, she continued, with her eyes fixed on her mother, who already knows us thoroughly, and reads us right, and before whom I have even less of self-respect or confidence than before my own inward self, being so much degraded by his knowledge of me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, this is an attack, I suppose, apostrophe, returned her mother coldly, on poor, unfortunate what's his name, Mr. Carker. Your want of self-respect and confidence, my dear, in reference to that person who is very agreeable, it strikes me, is not likely to have much effect on your establishment. Why do you look at me so hard? Are you ill? Apostrophe, Edith suddenly let fall her face, as if it had been stung, and while she pressed her hands upon it, a terrible tremble crept over her whole frame. It was quickly gone, and with her usual step, she passed out of the room. The maid, who should have been a skeleton, then reappeared, and giving one arm to her mistress, who appeared to have taken off her manner with her charms, and to have put on paralysis with her flannel gown, collected the ashes of Cleopatra, and carried them away in the other, ready for tomorrow's revivification. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.